welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Robert Bound, and we're starting the week in London with art. And I'm joined by the art newspaper's editor-at-large, Jane Morris. Jane, welcome to the programme. Let's go straight into it. Robert Rauschenberg, a meister, a master, and an amazing show by all accounts.
Yeah, I think this really is a great show, actually. I think it's quite interesting how Rauschenberg somehow looks new and fresh, because I was here a few weeks ago talking about the Abstract Expressionism show at the Royal Academy. And I was talking about then how it's an important show and it's a must-see show. I have some doubts about it, but it's a must-see show. But it very much feels of its time. And yeah, it feels like a show of work that is 50 years old. Now, Rauschenberg is a little bit younger than most of the people in that show. I mean, I think Jackson Pollock, I think, was born in 1912.
By a few, yeah, by a
not too
hair's
much.
Breadth,
yeah, only about 10 years, 10, 12 years younger than Jackson Pollock. And yet this show feels incredibly fresh. And I think it's partly because of the things we're interested in now.
Okay.
So, you know, we're very interested in live art and performance, and we're very interested in technology, and we like collage, and people at the moment are very keen on taking images off the internet and collaging them together. And here you are, and here's this guy, and in 1950, he starts on that line. This is a show covering, it's 60 years worth of work. And he is just the most incredible innovator. So the show feels really relevant.
And one of those things with Rauschenberg's work, it always seems that there is such a thin line between the thought of the art, the intention of the artist, and the work that he makes. There's such a lot of energy and vibrancy and half-madeness about it almost, that he couldn't wait to have the idea and to see his idea bear fruit almost in a work. And there's something really attractive and visceral and necessary about that.
They're really physical works, a lot of them. There's something very physical, quite exciting about them. You see, you know, thick slapped on paint or whatever he's used, if it's pieces of canvas or ripped up things. So there is that sense of immediacy, but there is this, it's got a powerful sort of physical hit, which I think is very exciting.
And I don't know how long it took him to make his piece, but he's also amazingly prolific as well. I think he was obviously halfway through something, quarter way through something, finishing something else, starting something else. He had, I wouldn't dare to call it a scattergun approach, but he seemed to have such a fertile mind and made stuff across such a sort of span of media that there's something you can just imagine. You can imagine the artist in his studio, I suppose. You can imagine paint flying off. You can imagine bits of wood fall. You can imagine that. I think it was described in a review as his cold water apartment in New York, where he sort of dragged tires back and sort of almost what would be detritus and made work out of it.
In the first room, there's this great piece where it's a long piece of paper, and he's taken a tire and he's just sort of put it, tar or ink on it, and he's just run this tire track across it. And you look at it and you think, so, you know, somebody trendy like Wade Guyton, who kind of uses laser jets and things, he's kind of doing something not amazingly dissimilar 60 odd years later. And Rauschenberg's version just looks so fresh and kind of wow. And, you know, and he's making that at exactly the same time that we're at the height of Clement Greenberg and the eulogising of the Abstract Expressionists, particularly Rothko and Pollock. And, you know, this guy is running a tire across a piece of paper. At the same time, he didn't want to be thought anti-painting, so he wasn't really trying to be anti-painting. He was just trying lots of different things. I think one of the things that's very interesting about Rauschenberg, though, is he surrounded himself with a lot of very interesting people. I mean, he was in the Navy. He actually saw art for the first time very late. I think he didn't see an art gallery till he was in his late teens or early 20s. But through the woman he eventually marries, and then later on he has relationships with men, he went to Black Mountain College. And Black Mountain College is this very famous art school, sort of in the middle of nowhere, where they taught art in a really, really multidisciplinary way. So they were teaching dance and music and art, and he studied all of it. Rauschenberg studied under Joseph Albers, but through this he meets what become this circle of people. The circle widens and widens as he goes through his career, but he meets people like Cy Twombly. He also meets the choreographer and dancer Merce Cunningham. He meets John Cage. He meets Buckminster Fuller. And he seems to be one of those people who really gets a lot of energy from the people around him and is really interested in what the others are doing. So Twombly, who he had a relationship with, who then, you know, somewhere along the line goes off to Italy and, you know, immures himself in a studio in Italy and kind of stays in his own world. But Rauschenberg just keeps surrounding himself with these exciting people. And when he has a big falling out, it was later repaired. But when he had a falling out with Merce Cunningham and John Cage, he goes and finds a new group of people and starts hanging out with people like Trisha Brown.
Yeah, there's a sort of restless Bowie-ish quality about the company that he kept and using it up almost like people like tubes of toothpaste
once a month or something.
Although he does come across,
I mean, he was incredibly good looking. He does come across as a very kind of charismatic person. So like Bowie, I suppose.
There's something of that. And just to take it back to the idea of as an exhibition itself, Jane, you mentioned the must-see but improvable upon abstract expressionism show at the Royal Academy here in London. Is there something to do with the way that this show is framed, that it's put together, it's curated, that adds to the strength of it, or is it simply the power and immediacy and quality of the work?
Oh, no, the work has been very well selected. Yeah. And you move through a series of themed rooms. That's very standard at the Tate. Somehow, it's a collaboration with the Museum of Modern Art, and I'm sure that between them, that's resulted in the loans that they've got, because they have been careful to select really, really great examples. So as you go round, you don't go thinking, oh, that's a bit of a filler, that picture, or that's a little bit of a filler. You kind of go, wow, OK, oh, wow, OK, oh, wow. But nonetheless, retaining the narrative of the exhibition. It somehow feels slightly less uptight than typical Tate exhibitions as well. And I don't know if that's the hand of MoMA. I mean, Glenn Lowry, who's MoMA's director, Museum of Modern Art, New York's director, was there first thing on Tuesday. He was there last thing on Tuesday night. He's clearly very pleased with it. He was sailing around chatting to people, and even though, you know, it's not actually his show yet, it will travel.
So it's here first, then it's MoMA.
This is the first go at it.
And is it easy to trace a timeline? You mentioned he was taught by Joseph Albers, who went straight. He went from Bauhaus to Warhol at the end, and so many other people. As you say, Cy Twombly as well. Can you see a sort of timeline of influence, or could the works that he made appear at any point in his career, if you know what I mean? Was he making stuff in his 30s that he actually later revisited in his 70s? I wonder.
The way the show is presented, it is quite clearly thematic. Mm. I think, in fact, he looped around a bit. But the work starts with his kind of anti-painting, like this sort of melting pot. It moves through his Red Series painting, then into the collages, the assemblages kind of pieces. Then it moves into his live performance, you know, and then into technology. And at the end, he's back in his kind of world of screen printing and multi-layered images. But I think he wasn't quite as linear as that.
Robert Rauschenberg is on at Tate Modern until the 2nd of April.
And you must go and see this one.
And it's a must-see, says Jane
Morris.
It
really, really is. I think this one and probably the Ragnar Kjartansson have been the two best shows of this year.
Okay, Jane. So next, we're going to the MAL. We're going to the ICA. It's Bloomberg New Contemporaries. Now, this is an interesting one. What can we expect from this? Is this a prize, or is this just a collection of young guns? What kind of stuff have we got here?
Okay, this show's actually been going on and off since 1949, which I didn't really realise because I was associated with the 80s, when in fact it sort of revived and got generally sorted out.
When it had its the sleeves of its jacket rolled up.
Exactly.
Okay.
So basically, it's I think in fact there was 1 year in the 90s when it didn't happen because they couldn't get a sponsor. So it's been the show that's always kind of had a little bit of a battle to get sponsorship. The premise basically is that it's artists in their final year at art school or 1 year out. Now, that's slightly odd because they could be graduates, they could be postgraduates. Mm. So some of them are kind of somewhat older than than others. And I would say that this is a show for the hardcore keenies amongst the listeners. So if you're the sort of people who like, say, for example, going to see young theatre productions because you're really, really into theatre, this is the kind of art equivalent. It's the sort of thing you go and see if you're really, really keen to see what's bubbling up out of the British art schools. I feel like I've been doing this a lot lately because last weekend I was at the Rijks Academy, which despite its grand-sounding name is actually basically like, it's like the Royal Academy.
I was in Amsterdam last weekend.
For the Amsterdam Art Weekend. Did you go and see this, the Open Studio? At the Rijks Academy?
I didn't go and see it. I wish I had. I was actually there for my anniversary.
Fair enough. So you had other reasons to be there.
I did go back to the world's greatest museum, the Rijks Museum, which I can't get enough of.
But I think if it's your anniversary, there is a limit. And possibly going around artist studios of students is possibly the limit. It was great, actually. It's really worth going to see the fantastic studio space. Anyway, so this is a little bit in the same vein. And I suppose, as you might expect, this being student post early, very early post-student work, you know, it's quite angsty. There's some humour. There's a lot of issues.
Are these issues wrought? Are those wrought like you would wring hands?
One or two really are quite sledgehammery, but in general they're not quite as sledgehammery as in some years. So there's stuff about housing and, you know, the housing crisis and surveillance, and there's an awful lot of identity politics, you know, race, gender, that sort of thing, as you would imagine. Having said that, there are actually some really quite, you know, nice and interesting pieces. So, as I say, I mean, I saw 3, 4, 5, 6 things maybe that I thought, quite interesting. Yeah. I will note down that artist and keep an eye on them for future.
A Rauschenberg of the future, maybe.
I mean, there's one guy called Jamie Fitzpatrick who's done this sculpture that I really liked. It was this kind of great big polyurethane thing called The King. It was kind of a bit Paul McCarthy. Yeah. It was a bit Rebecca Warren. And also a bit of sculpture that you don't see so much of here. He's also Dutch, though, so I didn't actually see any of his work this weekend, but a guy called Fokert de Jong, who is a hilarious sculptor, who makes all these kind of great big plastic, slightly hideous, somewhat Harlequin-esque sort of figures. I mean, they're really kind of out there. Well, this guy, Jamie Fitzpatrick, he'd done, you know, I think for student work, I was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of an interesting and bold sculpture. So there were one or two people there definitely worth a look at.
Nice. And at these events, do you see, I mean, Charles Such was famous for sort of snaffling around degree shows and all the rest of it. Is there that vibe when you go to these things? Does it feel like there is, that the students nowadays are media savvy, they're sales, they're market savvy, or did this feel political, young, vibrant, but a bit wet behind the ears, maybe?
Yeah, more the latter, I would say. I think that I think that very sort of YBA era is well and truly over, and you don't see some. I mean, I think sometimes you see it more in the American art schools, actually. Yeah. Mind you, they've all taken out enormous loans, so they're very kind of business savvy, I suppose. I mean, I think the thing is that whole trawling around art schools, it's worth it, I think, to keep an eye on people who might be interesting. But in truth, most people aren't actually going to be making their most interesting work for a few years to come, to be honest. So I think this is more seeing the kind of early seeds of something rather than, you know, you need to give them a bit more time. I mean, you could go and buy some of this work. I'm sure they would be delighted if you did.
Yeah.
If you do, I think it's safe to say, even though it'll be not that expensive, it's essentially very high risk. So you should buy something just because you like it, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And galleries and so forth will be keeping an eye on these people, but again, with much more to an eye of maybe 5 years down the line.
Well, they go into Jane Morris's notebook, perhaps 5 or 6 of these names. She didn't just go for the warm white wine at the student opening. That tends to be the flavour of the month, doesn't it?
Well, extraordinarily, at the Rijks Academy, I don't think I even got a warm white wine. I think I drank the Diet Coke that I'd carried round with me. It was that luxurious.
Don't they know who you are, Jane? That is Bloomberg New Contemporaries. It's on at the ICA until the 22nd of January. Bye, but only if you love it. Before that, it was Robert Rauschenberg, of course, at Tate Modern. He is showing, or that show is showing, until the 2nd of April. That brings us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review, and my guest was Jane Morris. I've been Robert Bound. This show is produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow to talk music. But for the time being, from all of us here, thanks for tuning in.